So three things that I'd like to share with your audience is hard to kill. My tagline, if you will, hard to kill, psychologically ready and emotionally steady. I call that Prez in your past, and your dash, values, purpose, and legacy. And, you know, when I say hard to kill, I sign a lot of the times hashtag on my social media posts and things, hard to kill. And the first time I actually utilized that phrase, I was stationed out at Ellsworth Air Force Base, South Dakota, and I was doing a first sergeant symposium, additional duty first sergeant symposium that they put on. I was up there as a chief panel, and you know, somebody said, "Well, chief, you know, after my counterparts had given their advice and said, hey, what would you advise, just you know, first sergeants or people in general?" And I said, "Man, you gotta be hard to kill." And it really resonated with the audience, and you know, I had quite a few people come up later and talk to me about it and said, "Hey, Chief, what's that really mean?" So I would like to describe to you what it means to me when I say hard to kill. I know this life can throw a lot at you. Our careers, whether that be military, civilian sector, it doesn't matter. Just life in general throws a lot at us. And what I have found in my time, 40 years on this earth, is a lot of times people aren't physically ready, much less psychologically ready for whatever gets thrown at them. So being hard to kill is always, or to me, it's about being always ready for whatever that threat is, whether that's a threat of an enemy of some type, a threat of a natural disaster, a threat of those psychological battles or warfare that goes on in our head. Now, look, I'm not a doctor. You know, I have a friend, Joe Bogdan, that said the other day on a podcast, I heard him say, a brilliant idiot. Now, I'm not saying he's an idiot by any means, but to me, I fall in that category as well, right? Of, I'm not a doctor, but I do know what has worked for me, and about always keeping the mentality of overcoming. Nobody's ever going to push you down and keep you down. And you have to have the mentality. You know, if you don't, sure enough, physical, I think it speaks for itself. So I'm going to focus in on more of the psychological piece of it. But if you don't have the psychological wherewithal to be hard to kill, there's a lot of things that can take you out of the fight. As we say in the military, you know, things that take you out of the fight, and your headspace is one of the main things that can take you out of the fight. And so many times, you know, we don't actually put time towards getting and seeking help in the psychological wounds that we have. And, you know, that really hinders us. It really hinders your capability. It hinders your capacity. It sets a ceiling that shouldn't be there when you allow those scars to continue to go untreated. And we go, you know, seek treatment for a broken bone or any other kind of ailment that we might have. Yet here we are in the psychological space, letting it go. So again, when you see that slogan out there, and that's what it means to me, is truly having a mentality of like, hey, I'm gonna take this body shot, I'm gonna take this punch, and I'm gonna be able to work right through it. I'm gonna be able to continue to grind and press through this. Because if you don't have that mindset, you're not gonna get through this life. I'll just be honest with you, you're not gonna get through it. Something is gonna take you off your fight, take you out of the fight, and take you off your goals. And unfortunately for some people, it takes them all the way out of this life. So we can't have that. We can't afford that. So you as a person, I'm challenging you right now to be psychologically and physically ready for whatever that threat is. Which leads me into being psychologically ready and emotionally steady. So it's the same play or a similar play on that, if you will. But I want to talk to you about your past. Because it's all good to have this hard to kill mentality. But what's fueling it? What's it powered from? And a lot of times I found, again, in my 21 years in the United States military, that we all come with baggage. We all have some type of psychological or emotional scarring, scar tissue, right? So again, you might see it, you know, if you've been cut on the arm or the chest or the back or anything like that, like I've been, you will see the scars, the actual physical scars, right? But in the emotional space, you don't see those scars, at least on the outside. You as an individual know that you've been through some things, but maybe you haven't sat and taken the time to actually analyze, hey, what is it? Why do I respond in this way? When there's a stimuli, we call it left of bang in the military, right? When there's a stimuli and then the reaction, what are we doing before that reaction? What are we doing within that space? And then is that a close space? And if it is, why? Is it required to stay alive? You know, that hard to kill mentality? Or is it just generated based on our subconscious because of the scar tissue that we have? Again, I'm not a doctor, just speaking from what I know and what I have been affected by. In my past, I wasn't treated so well. In my past, I had a lot of abuse, physical and emotional abuse. guess what? As I matured into an adult, that was the difference between the stimuli and the reaction, was all that scar tissue built up in the psychological or emotional space. I was not emotionally steady because of the scarring that I had. So I had to seek help for that. I had to get help for that. I don't know what your situation may be. I don't know what you have had experienced in your life or what you've been exposed to. But I, like I said again, I have been in the military for 21 years, been on this earth for 40 of those. I know that people go through things. I have seen a lot of people. I've come in contact with thousands of people, and we all go through things. So I'm challenging you now. You'll never be psychologically ready or emotionally steady if you have scar tissue that you haven't dealt with. Now, you got to deal with that on your own timetable. Maybe some of the audience is hearing this. Maybe that's a professional help, right? Professional mental health providers. I don't know your situation, and I don't know your circumstances, and I'm not trying to pretend that I do. What I am saying is, it's highly probable that you've been through some things that you need to get counseling for. You need to talk to somebody about. Maybe you just need to be honest with yourself and talk to yourself about it. Maybe you need to look back over your life and say, hey, you know what? This did hurt. This did affect me. Maybe just looking in the mirror is painful, but you got to do it. I know you've got courage. It's going to take courage, but you got the courage to look in the mirror and start working through that. Don't take the mentality of, hey, well, you know what? I'm the way I am because of what I've been through in my past. My past made me who I am. No, that's wrong. At least for me, that's wrong. Again, I can't prescribe that for everyone, but for me, I see it as our circumstances give us the opportunity to make a decision on how we want to respond. I'm going to say that again. Our situations and our circumstances give us the opportunity to make a decision on how we respond. Sure, a lot of times it is the easy button, right? I can turn to anger. I can turn to malice. I can turn to revenge. Those are easy buttons if I've been mistreated. And what I mean by easy button is, all that's kind of like self-built, right? Or is built in. You get treated bad. You get treated inappropriately. That's a built-in mechanism in the body, it seems like, in the psychological space to want to get revenge or have anger and malice. So what I'm saying is, in these spaces, in these moments, maybe when you take a little bit of a self-analysis, a 360 look, a look in the mirror, maybe it is something you need to come to terms with. It's highly probable there's something you need to come to terms with. And I want you to understand that in the third point, we're in our dash. You might be like, hey, man, what's a dash? What are you talking about? Well, I know you, I'm sure you're familiar with it, but it's a dash that's on the tombstone or on your head, the plate that would go on wherever you might be placed to rest. And maybe you've had family members, I'm sure, and loved ones that you've gone to funerals and you've seen the tombstones, right? You've been in a graveyard. So I'm not trying to turn this dark. What I'm saying is the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking, and you never know when your time is up. We're in that dash right now. There's a birth year out there that whenever you were born, for me, 1981, right? And there's a dash there in the middle that we're all living in right now. If you listen to this, you're living in your dash, and that clock is ticking. You don't know. Hey, you might, at the end of this podcast, you might not be here anymore. So what have you done in that space that you're given? All of us that have been given grace and mercy to live within that space, what are we actually doing with it? How are we actually living? What are we living for? And you see now how this is all tying back to the original concept of being hard to kill and psychologically ready and emotionally steady, dealing with your past. What are your values? In this stage we're in our dash, what are your values? A lot of you might work for organizations, be in the United States military, one of the branches that have values given to you from that organization or that military branch. But what are your personal values? Because guess what? I'm in the Air Force, Integrity First Service for Self and Excellence and all we do. Yep, I can spit those out. But are those values my personal values? Nothing against the Air Force values. That's good for teamwork, bringing in a very diverse group of people and putting us all on the same page and getting us to go after a common goal, which is supporting defense of the Constitution of the United States, defending America, right? So, but what are my personal values? So for me, I'll share with you an example, maybe my values and my purpose and the legacy I want to live, and take that and apply it to your life however it fits, right? So for me, my values are faith, family, and service. I'm a Christian. I'm a man of God. And there's a lot for me, my entire life is about how I am and living out my faith values. So my number one priority is faith. My number two value is family. I'm a family person, right? I come from a troubled past, troubled background, as a lot of you maybe have. But family is very important to me. So in these decisions that I'm making, does it affect my faith, my value of faith? Something that the military is asking me to do, does it affect the value of my faith? Does it affect the value of my family? And service isn't a service to necessarily just the military. Sure, I serve in the military. But that service value is about service to mankind, service to people. I'm a service to my family. I'm a service to the airmen that I'm responsible and entrusted to lead, motivate, and inspire, coach, and develop, right? So those are the values that I operate off of: faith, family, and service. And everything that I do, every decision I make, every step that I take, is those values have to be analyzed. Now, some of it is like second nature, right? Once you understand what your values are, that's like second nature. Unless there's a bigger decision, a big decision that you're going to make, you need to spend some time and analyze, hey, how does this decision, second and third order effects of the decision, how does that affect and play into my values? And you might be saying, hey, well, you know what? That's cool. You got your values of faith, family, and service. How'd you get those? Huh? Well, I'm glad you asked. You need to take some time. If you don't have values now that you know of right now, that you can regurgitate, for lack of a better phrase, sit down and write down the things that you value. No kidding, the things that you value, whether that be the same as like I have or maybe something different, right? And then you need to narrow that list down to, like, I would say two or three. Most experts say no more than two. I say two or three. Again, I'm no expert. I just know what works for me. And you pick those things that you would fight for, those things that you would, no kidding, sacrifice for. Right. And that's when you're going to start being able to narrow down your values. You can look at your checkbook, right? Nobody uses a checkbook anymore, but you can look at your online bank statement. What are you spending your money towards? Because you might come up with some values and you look at what you're spending your money on. And that'll tell you a lot of times what your values are. And those might not align. So that's where I just kind of like a litmus test, if you will. And then what's your purpose? What I encourage people to do is take those values. Once you know what your values are and you lock them in, what is your purpose? What is your, you know, you might have heard Simon Sinek talk about what's your why. So your purpose is about why you're on this earth. And you know, I say sometimes to people, and it kind of catches them off guard, why are you here and why does anybody care? So for me, my purpose is to create a remarkable experience. That's a whole other podcast on what that means, but create a remarkable experience so that I can, just by chance, right? You might say by chance, but I look at it as a daily, as I'm going after it. So it's you do something so that, so I create a remarkable experience so that I can add value to others' lives, right? So I can do that with my family is number one. I can do that with my family. Number two, I can also do that with my Air Force family. I want to create a remarkable experience. There's a lot that goes into that, but I want people to understand that they're valued, that they're important, that it means something, that they're here on earth sharing this space with us, right? So once you have your purpose, going back to being psychologically ready and emotionally steady, dealing with your past, and you're going to start to understand, like, okay, now I see why he started out with being hard to kill. Because when you have values and you have a purpose, guess what? People can take a lot of things with you, but they can't take away your faith, and they can't take away your hope, and they cannot take away your thoughts. You always have your thoughts. So you're having your values and having your purpose, then you can start leaning into, what do I want my legacy to be? Now, I'm not saying you need to sit there and just, you know, think up about this grandiose thing of what you think a legacy you might want it to be, or you might be like, hey, well, I compare my legacy to this or a legacy to that. No, I'm not saying that at all. Within your values and within your purpose, what is your legacy? And again, I'll share with you what I hope my legacy would be, if I may, as to give you an idea. Well, I want people to know, again, like how important they are, whether it be my sons or whether it be airmen, because I'm in the United States Air Force. I want to leave a legacy of people that care, people that take care of each other, people that have no problem. Excuse me. I want to leave a legacy of people that care. And I can do that. You know, legacy doesn't live in material things. It just doesn't. You know, you might have people say, hey, well, you know, in the military, we have the rank and promotions and decorations and accolades. Civilian sectors could have the same type of thing, you know, awards and promotions and things of that nature. Guess what? All that stuff's going to pass away. All that stuff is going to be in some box somewhere, tossed out in the yard in the dumpster somewhere someday. You need to spend time. I challenge you to spend time within your values and within your purpose, building legacies that live on. And the only way you can build a legacy that lives on is to coach and develop those people that will follow you, whether it be your children, whether it be a spouse, whether that be people that you work with. In the end, it's about people. So whatever category that those important people in your lives fall into, it's about leaving something with them that lives on, right? They're not going to copy and paste what you do, and you don't want them to do that anyway. But it's about the ideals, the things that you want them to leave with them, of how they treat others and how we move forward as a society. Understanding they're in their dash and having values and a purpose and leaving a good legacy, being psychologically ready and emotionally steady, and at the end of the day, being hard to kill. Physically and psychologically, you'll never take me out of the fight. I'll always be there to the end. So thank you again for...